Blog Talk Radio.
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven rain, ring with the harmony, oh, liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high, loud as the Lord see.
All right. Jimmy Lee Underground Radio Network is back on the air. Here it is, Sunday. What's the date, Ebony? April what? 16th. April 16th. Here he is, 2023. We're going to bring you back the Black Excellence Hour once again. People enjoyed the last broadcast. If you're going to call on our network, hold on for the second hour and the host will come in and check us out. We're going to do like we do for our mother show. We're going to go to it now, and then from the after show, we'll come back on after show with the topics. I think we're going to be dealing with the Walmart closing in Chicago. That's a local issue then. We might go national and world after that. Let's hit it, Ebony. Go ahead from that point on. Let's do it.
And Susie, we'll have fast internet in the basement.
Nice.
If you have any questions, here's my card.
This is just your name on a gum wrapper.
Introducing the 10G network only from Xfinity. The future starts now. Now through April 23rd, new customers can get 200 megabit Xfinity internet during our limited time Xfinity 10G network launch celebration for just $25 a month for 2 years. Plus, there's no annual contract required and you get Wi-Fi equipment included. Go to Xfinity.com/10G, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply to internet service and devices. Actual speeds vary.
We are creating our future. The Chicago Minority Supplier Development Council will be hosting their 56th Chicago Business Opportunity Fair on Tuesday, April 18th and Wednesday, April 19th at the Marriott Magnificent Mile. Advance your career goals, make new connections, and receive the information and advice you need to create your path to success. Save the date. The Business Opportunity Fair takes place April 18th and 19th at the Marriott Magnificent Mile on 540 North Michigan Avenue from 1 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. It's time to create your future.
Attorney CPA Joe Cordell.
Divorce forces a father to focus on what's most important, his children. You may no longer be a husband, but you'll always be a dad. In the divorce process, this comes down to three key concerns: physical custody, decision-making, as well as financial support. Each of these is important, and it's important that you choose a lawyer that cares as much about these issues as you do.
Schedule an appointment with one of Cordell & Cordell's Springfield area attorneys. 2815 Old Jacksonville Road, Suite 103, Springfield, Illinois, 62704. CordellCordell.com.
Heart failure, carpal tunnel syndrome, shortness of breath, stomach issues, lower back pain. How does it all add up? If you have heart failure and any of those seemingly unrelated symptoms sound familiar, it's time to talk with your cardiologist and get the full picture. They may add up to transthyretin amyloid cardiomyopathy. ATTRCM is a rare and underdiagnosed disease. Recognize the signs and discuss them with your doctor soon. Learn more at connectwithyourheart.com. That's connectwithyourheart.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
God bless you. This is Pastor Bryson. And every Sunday now, you'll be able to listen to the First Church of Deliverance here on WBON 1690 AM and on the iHeartRadio app at 11 p.m. Tune in for inspirational music, powerful word, and a blessing from the Lord. That's the First Church of Deliverance, Sundays at 11 p.m. right here on the Talk of Chicago, WBON. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at FCD Chicago.
The views expressed on our programs are not necessarily those of WVON, Midway Broadcasting Corporation, or our participating sponsors.
You're listening to the Black Excellence Hour with P. Ray on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
America, hello Chicago, and what's up West Side? This is P. Ray of Black Excellence Hour, a show for people with high self-esteem. You could have been anywhere this Sunday and you chose to come hang out with me today at Black Excellence Hour, and I truly appreciate you and your time. If you are watching the show live on Facebook, and that could be on the Black Excellence Facebook page or the WVON Facebook page, be sure to share the live, share the live, share the live. Today's show is going to be about Walmart. So last week I took my mom on vacation, shout out to Dr. Pat, because she deserved a vacation. When I was a little girl, she put me in this speed reading class when I was about 8 years old at Malcolm X in 1996, and it was the ultimate life hack. When I say the ultimate life hack, the ultimate life hack. I can read super fast and condense information very, very easily because she invested that money in that reading class. So while we were there, I told you guys my mom is a huge WVON fan, and I was asleep. And then I, in my dream, I started seeing Perry Small. And I'm like, why am I dreaming about Perry? This is so weird. And so I opened my eyes, and I noticed that my mom was listening to WVON. So we were even listening to the station in the Bahamas. But I say all of that to say that while we were there, I heard a lot of conversation about Walmart and what was going on at Walmart and how people were making this a racialized issue and people want them to do a national boycott and play. This was a time for everybody to try to make themselves re-relevant again. Well, friends, you guys know that I do my research. I research everything that I hear on this station because I have learned from a very small child that anybody can call this station and say anything that they want, and it's up to you to figure out the truth. So what I did was I figured out exactly why Walmart closed the stores, and I even brought audio from the CEO himself saying that he was going to close the stores if certain things did not change. And we're going to get to that later on in the show. But first things first, this has been another week of people telling you how pitiful you are and how the corporate people are trying to disinvest in black communities to make sure that black people starve and black people, woe is me, and black people pity party. Well, you know that Black Excellence Hour is not a pity party. We do not host or attend pity parties. We are here to talk about black greatness, and we get that message from the greatest president to ever do it. And I say ever, I mean ever. Check the books. That man's name is Donald John Trump, and he's going to tell us exactly what we mean to this country. Roll tape.
African Americans built this nation. You built this nation. You know, you're just starting to get real credit for that. Okay, I don't know if you know that. You're just starting to get, you built the nation. We all built it, but you were such a massive part of it. Bigger than you were given credit for. Does that make sense? Right? But through generations of blood, sweat, and tears, and you deserve a government that defends your interests, protects your families, and cares for our own citizens first. My administration is fighting with everyone and all our heart to reverse the pain inflicted by Democrat leaders and to deliver hope and opportunity and prosperity for all Americans, but for African-American communities all throughout our land. And our agenda is lifting up citizens of every background, race, religion, color, and creed. But while we are fighting every day to build up our nation, the far left only wants to wreck, ruin, and destroy our nation.
All right. So again, you heard from Donald Trump, who's trying to wreck, ruin, and destroy our nation. We actually have proof of that right here in the city of Chicago, starting with the Bebes last night. Now, I'm going to talk about the Bebes later on. For those who do not know, I was going to make it a surprise, but I might as well let you know. Black Excellence Hour is coming back to the night time. Prime time is starting again tomorrow at 6 p.m., and we are going to talk about the Bebes because tomorrow's all the airtime is going to be about how bad the teens are, how they were downtown tearing up, and all this kind of foolishness. But first things first, there was no census taken. We have no proof that the people downtown were Chicago's teenagers. The second thing is that the teenagers are only doing or following the trend and the culture that our leaders have set for them. Now, this wilding out, going crazy downtown, tearing up, all of that started during the George Floyd riots. And I want you to listen to what our current mayor, Brandon Johnson, had to say about the looting and the rioting so that you all can know what to look forward to moving forward. Roll tape.
Up the Nord Stream pipeline.
Oh, no, not the Donnie. Roll Brandon Johnson.
Hey, that's how they can eat?
The real answer is, how do we make sure, the question is, how do we make sure that people can eat? Look, no one is going to condone, behavior that quite frankly speaks to a level of desperation.
So you're not condoning looting?
I'm saying that people are acting out of desperation. We don't want a society that is acting out of desperation, but you have to pay attention to the cries that people have.
By so you're not condoning looting?
There's no way to embrace that. What I'm saying is you can't condone the looting that corporations continue to do every single day when they take tax dollars from black, brown, white folks all over the city of Chicago so that they can turn a profit.
So you heard your mayor right there. Again, P. Ray didn't participate in that mayoral election, but you all sure did. So you heard your mayor right there. He did not condemn the looting. So that means last night when they went and they looted downtown at that Walmart, our mayor said that that is an act of desperation and it's not criminality. On tomorrow's show, we're going to talk about how there is an element of criminality that is going completely unchecked, and that how the cowards are trying to blame the kids rather than blame the grown people because they know that the grown people will slap them in the face. So it's easy to blame the teenagers and their parents and all that kind of stuff, but we're not focusing on the leadership that is actively promoting this culture of lawlessness and criminality in the city. But again, that's tomorrow's show. Moving on, I just want to start the conversation because I know tomorrow all the conversation is going to be about how bad the babies are. But again, I want everybody who calls here tomorrow to challenge Chicago to listen to our Mayor Brandon Johnson's opinions about looting in this city so that you know as the looting picks up, he's going to say that that's a cry of desperation, not criminality, not dysfunctional behavior, but it's because the corporations are taking the tax dollars from black folks as if all of us are looting and acting a fool. Absolutely not. Moving on. Another thing that happened this week is that Budweiser has been going through some really – Anheuser-Busch, rather. They lost $4 billion, billion with a B, after – or their market cap dropped $4 billion after partnering with a trans activist. Now, Anheuser-Busch, which is the parent company of Bud Light, suffered a huge revenue loss because they partnered with activist Dylan Mulvaney, and it went viral, and people asked to boycott the brand, and it is happening. They said that their market value has dropped from being $134 billion to close to $130 billion. That's still a lot of money, but to lose $1 billion within 2 weeks is humongous. The CEO of Anheuser-Busch put out a statement basically saying that he understands what's going on, but he did not specifically mention their partnership with this transgender woman who is a man on the can. Now, I also want to point out that corporations are putting men who are identifying as women, trans women, on cans, but Aunt Jemima lost her job, Uncle Ben lost his job, and the Indian from the Land O'Lakes Butter, she lost her job. Those three people were not okay enough to be on American products, but now we can have men masquerading as women, taking up spaces that women could be in, and that's completely okay with corporate America. Now, that might sound pretty strange, right? Because apparently Bud Light wanted to highlight a larger pride campaign called Celebrating Everyone's Identity. However, it's much deeper than that, my friends. There is something called the CEI system, and the CEI system stands for the Corporate Equality Index, and that's the Corporate Equality Index score, and that's overseen by the Human Rights Campaign, which is the largest LGBTQIA plus political lobbying group in the world. They have received lots of money from George Soros' Open Society Foundation, and they asked for companies to adhere to what they call their rating criteria. So what they base their woke rating on are 5 points. The first one is workforce protections, and this is no discrimination for employment or sexual orientation or gender identity. 2, inclusive benefits, that's 50 possible points. Criteria here includes providing health care for same-sex couples. 3, supporting an inclusive culture, 25 possible points, including gender-neutral dress codes and trans-inclusive restrooms, facilities, policies. 4, corporate social responsibility, which is 20 possible points, and that's marketing or advertising to LGBTQIA customers, which would include Nike and Bud's use of transgender spokesperson Dylan Mulvaney. And 5, responsible leadership. They deduct points if a company gives money to organizations whose primary mission includes advocacy against LGBTQIA equality, and we know that that includes Christian groups. So these people have this scoring system that they use to bully corporations into pushing this LGBTIQ, no, get it right, LGBTIQA plus brand. That's why they're pushing it on us, because of the CEI rankings. They said that they just don't passively do this, but they give them a list of demands, and if they don't follow through, then they say that they won't keep their CEI score, and then these lobbyists will then begin to attack these corporations. So don't get mad at the corporations. Just know that the lobbying groups are pushing this very harshly. They are also a part of the ESG, Environmental, Social, and Corporate Governance Ethical Investment Movement. As we know, Jim Crow Joe just vetoed a bill that came out of Congress, where Congress tried to block managers from being forced to invest in these ESG-type shares. So now corporate managers have to actively invest in SEG portfolios that are covered by the CEI governances, meaning that now the LGBTQIA plus community has a huge control over how American tax or American investors invest, and that's why we're seeing so many more campaigns with transgender and homosexuality in it. Now everybody knows, and we no longer have to question it. Moving on into international news. My Donnie went on Tucker Carlson last week, and he did an interview with him about the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. If you listen to Black Excellence Hour, we've been talking about the Nord Stream 2 for a while. It was a pipeline that went from Russia directly into Germany, and it provided them with natural gas. Well, friends, someone, we don't know who, blew up the Nord 2 pipeline, which then cut off all of the energy from Russia going into Western Europe, and now they specifically have to depend on the pipelines that are coming through Ukraine. And as we know, Ukraine is a money laundering campaign that Jim Crow Joe and his son Hunter are doing, because Hunter is on the board of Burisma Oil and Gas, and they are actively trying to build these pipelines across Ukraine. Roll tape.
Who blew up the Nord Stream pipeline?
I don't want to get our country in trouble, so I won't answer it. But I can tell you who it wasn't was Russia. Yep. How about when they blamed Russia? You know, they said Russia blew up their own pipeline. You got a kick out of that one, too. It wasn't Russia. So I won't answer the question at all, because I don't want to get our country any deeper than they already are. But it sort of all starts. We have the most incredible equipment. I rebuilt our whole military. We have things that are, you can do anything. We're equipped to do anything, but I refuse to say it because I want our country to be pristine. But it was, in many ways, blowing it up was very bad, because it really created a lot of problems for Europe in terms of the cost of energy.
Oh, yeah.
But they shouldn't have ever been. I had that pipeline stopped, Nord Stream 2, I had it stopped, totally stopped. When Biden came in, he approved it, and they immediately started the finishing action. I had Nord Stream, because I said, for Germany and Europe to get their energy from Russia, that was when I said I sent Angela Merkel the flag. I sent her the white flag of surrender. She said, but why do you do that? I said, you've been fighting Russia for many years. If you ever have to fight with Russia, and they control energy, you might as well just take the white flag of surrender. And that's what I did. So that was blown up, and very dangerous to do it, but I think most people know who did it.
So once we start blowing up other people's critical infrastructure, is there a concern ours could get blown up in return?
Well, I think it's much more than infrastructure you're talking about. Look, we could end up in World War III over this whole thing. Forget about pipeline. We are closer. I believe it's the most dangerous period of time in history. Number one, because we have people on top that are incompetent. That's number one. And again, China's fine if you know how to deal. Russia, if you know how to deal. Russia wasn't going into Ukraine with me. China wasn't going into Taiwan with me.
I mean, now all you see is, you know, China with ships all over the place and sending airplanes and bombers. That wasn't happening with me. He knew you can't do it. And also, Russia knew you can't do it. They would have never done it. The most dangerous period of time because of weaponry, because of nuclear, because of weaponry, most dangerous period of time in the history of our country and in the history of the world right now. And we have an incompetent person at the top.
All right. So you heard from my Donnie, from a former president who has much more information than everybody else. Jim Crow Joe is actively pushing us into World War III. So once again, all of these Illinois for Biden people, please come to the table. Come talk to us at Midway Broadcasting and tell us why you sent us off like this. Because y'all got to feel ashamed and you owe us an apology. And for all of the listeners out here, do not ever listen to those people politically again. They keep on leading you down the wrong political road because they are more in tune and more aligned and more loyal to their funders and getting political signs printed than they are protecting us as taxpayers here in the city of Chicago. I'm telling you, get away from them, get away from them, get away from them. Moving on, I want to talk about the progressivism that's in this country right now. Right now in the WVON Facebook page, people are talking about the Bebes and how bad they were last night. Again, yes, the Bebes were bad, but we do not know, again, that one, that all of the Bebes were doing this. We will not punish 100% of Chicago's teenagers for the misbehavior of a few. Two, we have no proof or evidence that all of the people down there last night engaged in criminality were teenagers. There were a lot of grown people down there. Number three, we know that anarchists are right here in the city of Chicago. They were activated by Black Jesus during the Floyd riots. He said literally, and thank you, Miss Temple, for putting this quote into the Black Excellence Hours Facebook page. He said, "You have been activated." Literally, Barack Obama said that to the protesters. Protesters, you have been activated. And ever since then, there has been a high level of unrest and criminal activity in urban centers from sea to shining sea that has been pushed and promoted by the progressives, those same group of people that y'all just put in charge at City Hall. But again, that's tomorrow's show. I digress until then. Moving on, let's talk about Walmart. So we know that Walmart is closing four stores here in the city of Chicago, two in the Black community, that would be Kenwood and Chatham, one in Lakeview, which is a white area. Again, in Lakeview, that is a white area, and Little Village, which is a Hispanic area. I pulled up some data from WirePoint, and they have it, Walmart exits four Chicago neighborhoods that has had 16,000 thefts and just 1,000 arrests since 2019. So we know that Kim Fox stated in the beginning of her first term in 2016 that the Cook County State's Attorney would not be prosecuting any theft over under $1,000 as a felony. So people have been committing felonies, you know, or stealing $999 worth of stuff. So in Lakeview, they have had since, and we're, again, counting from 2009, 2020, I mean 2019, 20, 21, 22. In Lakeview, there have been 8,000 reports of theft. And Little Village, 2,222 incidents of theft. In Kenwood, 1,326 incidents of theft. And in Chatham, 4,258 incidents of theft. Now, if we look at just specifically retail theft, in Lakeview, which is the white area, has had 1,784 instances, Little Village, 198, Kenwood, 115, Chatham, 770. And then they have other categories here. But basically, once they averaged out everything, there have only been 7% arrested. There's only a 7% arrest rate within all of this. Now, P-Ray, why does this matter? Number one, this was not a black thing, okay? Lakeview is white. Little Village is white. What we are dealing with are the effects of being a narco town. For those who do not know what a narco town is, it is a town that is governed by drug cartels. And we all know that the city of Chicago is governed by the drug cartel, and our progressive sanctuary city policy has encouraged this to happen. We all know that. We don't have to go deep into the facts for that. We've talked about that here for months. But the point is, the CEO of Walmart has already told us that this was going to happen, and I don't know why everybody is so surprised, but we're going to hear it out of his mouth ourselves. Roll tape, please. And he said this on MSNBC about 5 months ago. Roll tape.
We hear all the retailers talk about is what's happening with theft, with shrinkage, stuff that walks out the door. I've spoken with other retailers who have said this is a national issue, a state issue, a citywide issue. Laws matter where these things aren't prosecuted. What's it mean to the bottom line? What would you like to see people in Washington and elsewhere do about it?
Yeah, theft is an issue. It's higher than what it's historically been. And we've got safety measures, security measures that we put in place by store location. I think local law enforcement being staffed and being a good partner is part of that equation, and that's normally how we approach it.
But there have been rules that have been changed that make it not something that the police are going to prosecute, or that the criminals won't be prosecuted below certain levels. Does that matter?
If that's not corrected over time, prices will be higher, right, and or stores will close.
And how much of that, though, do you have to go state by state and actually work on that issue? I mean, you see videos now. I just saw a video of some burglars in the Apple store, just literally just take, I mean, you know, taking everything that they could. And the, you know, the Apple employees were told, you know, stand back and just let it all happen. And maybe that's the right decision in the moment, but clearly there's something larger going on.
It's really city by city, location by location. It's store managers working with local law enforcement, and we've got great relationships there for the most part, and that's the way we approach it.
So what would you like to see? What are the measures that, from the Walmart perspective and the Business Roundtable perspective, Business Roundtable perspective, that you'd like to see policymakers working on right now?
Yeah, it's just policy consistency and clarity, you know, so that we can make capital investments with some vision.
Good luck.
That would be nice.
Okay, so we heard it ourselves. The CEO of Walmart literally said that the policies in these cities are going to cause store closings. You heard it. I heard it. This is on the internet for anybody who wants to pull it up. So everybody who's been emotionally manipulating you for the past few days, standing in front of cameras, doing press conferences, calling for national boycotts, they all could have looked this up. But guess what, friends? It wouldn't have served themselves, right? So they held all of that information back from you in order to get you emotionally upset. Our issue that we're having here is unchecked criminality that is pushed and promoted by progressives. We just heard our mayor say that looting is a cry for help because people don't have it. That's a lie. We also know that our state's attorney has said that she has more in common, or she feels she has more in common with the criminals than she does with her colleagues, right? So we know that the policies that are coming out of that office are going to victimize the villains rather than villainize the villains as they should be villainized. So again, my people, please know, trust, and understand that it's only going to get worse, and the activity that you saw last night in downtown Chicago committed by Chicago's teenagers, adults, and anarchists from around the country will only continue as long as we continue to support progressivism. 773-591-1690. Never forget that progressivism is dangerous to the Negro. Let's go to the phone line. Jim, welcome to Black Excellence Hour.
Well, it's a great show, a lot of good topics. And I wanted to kind of piggyback a little bit with the riots. Alderman Ray, hold on, let me get the singer. Drawing a blank here. Alderman, sorry, hold on, give me one second.
Alderman Ray Lopez made a comment basically saying that they should hold the parents and the people that are doing this responsible. And there's a state senator. His name is Robert Peters. He basically dissed Ray, saying that he was talking about black people and stuff, and Ray did not mention the color of these people doing the crime. And he was basically mocking him. I sent you a copy of it. It's really lame. And this is the kind of poor excuse making, just like the Summer of Love 3 years ago, when, oh, it was just a peaceful protest when all the cities were burning down. And these kind of people need to be removed from office, as you know, we're discussing. Because otherwise, as you're saying, as long as these people are around, the tolerance is there, it's going to continue. So this has got to change. And just on another side note, another thing to worry about is the car manufacturers, Ford and some others, on some of their newer vehicles, they're not going to be having AM radio included in the audio packages. They're going to try to do away with AM radio, which is a dangerous precedent, and that's got to be resisted as well.
Well, thank you, and we're going to push for that one here on WVON, because if they get rid of AM radio, then that gets rid of our listeners as well. So remember, everyone in Chicago, Ford is trying to get rid of AM radio. Be sure to contact them and tell them that you must keep your AM dial.
Well, what I'm calling, I called 10 dealerships yesterday. I said, I'm not going to buy a car that doesn't have AM radio in it. And a lot of people have to call them and let them, you know, just like what's going on with Budweiser. They got to feel the market hit, so to speak, or understand they're going to lose a lot of their market share. And it shouldn't happen. There's about 8 or 9 of people besides Ford that are doing it.
Well, thank you, Jim, and thank you for letting us know that as well. That is a huge thing that we should be focused on here at the Talk of Chicago.
That's freedom, and, you know, even though a lot of people, we disagree on the air, you know, conservatives versus Democrats, this is something that should everybody should be concerned about, because it's taking away communication.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
773-591-1690. Walmart is not closing because it's black folks. They're closing because it's thievery. People are stealing them out of house and home. To those who are calling in, just hold the line 1 minute. My producer stepped away. He will be back in a moment. But we're going to get back to the callers. I also want to say that because Lakeview is a white area, we know that it's not racial. But what we're dealing with is the fallout of us being the heroin capital of North America. If you are a town where your number one job source is selling drugs, you're going to have a lot of drug addicts. And when you have drug addicts, you're going to have a lot of shoplifting. This is why the CVS closed in Wicker Park over there on Milwaukee. This is why the Aldi closed on Madison and Central Park. This is why they're now closing the Walmarts. It is unchecked criminality. And again, this is what happens when you are a narco town. We call ourselves a sanctuary city, but we are really a real live narco town. Look up what a narco town is. N-A-R-C-O, narco town. That's what Chicago is, and we're seeing the effects of it. And progressive policies out of the city council have caused all of this. All of it to the core. We just heard the CEO of Walmart say that himself. So all those people out there doing your little press conferences saying, please, Mr. Walmart man, don't leave. You need to take all that energy down to City Hall and tell them stop playing with the policy making, because we deserve better, y'all. 773-591-1690. Let's go back to the phone line. Darva, welcome to Black Excellence Hour.
Hey, let's pray. P-Ray.
Hey.
God bless you, my sister. Hey, my daughter, sent by God. I wanted to say this because my daughter worked with Walmart, the Walmart you're talking about, in the fourth ward where we live. And so I did speak with managers and everyone there because of so many other issues they had. Walmart is owned by one of the most wealthiest men, family in the world, and Sam Club, which is Sam Waltman. He owns mm-hmm. Sam Club, and he owns Walmart. And you know that because I know that you're in the financial industry. But what I wanted to say, yes, that's what they've been telling me since they brought this Walmart here my 4 or 5 years ago. Even my daughter worked there, and she experienced a lot of things. But they have it not just at Walmart. They have it at a lot of my daughter also worked for the Dollar General. She said the same thing. You know, just people just come in and take what they want, even at Walgreens. But I asked the general managers, to let them know, even my alderman of the 4th Ward at the time, Tony Prewinkle, was the alderman there, Phil King, they knew the problems that Walmart was having. But what Walmart should have done, you bring security, which they do have security, but you got to bring the right security. So Walmart, those have not only, but they're billion-dollar country, they're a company. They own the Walmarts and the Sam Clubs across the world.
Darva.
I'm saying that anyone should be stealing.
I was about to say. So let's say Darva and P. Ray got a store, right? And we sell rubber bands. That's all we sell are rubber bands in our stores, every color, texture, everything. If people keep coming in there and stealing our rubber bands over and over and over again, and we're calling the police come, they try to lock the people up, the people get out, there is no disincentive to shoplifting here in the city of Chicago. So P. Ray and Darva would close their rubber band store. This is exactly what they did, and this is policy. This is all policy. This is not the corporation. This is piss poor policy coming out of City Hall.
Which, can I say one more thing, too?
Yes, ma'am.
I want all the young people to know our Just Us Employment Company that we have, we're looking for 1,000 young people to work for the summer jobs and all year round. Please have everyone to go to justusjobs at Gmail and justus4jobs at Gmail. We also need young people 14 to 21. But we need older people, 55 and older, also to work with us. So just put your name, your phone number, and which job positions that you want, or you know, and then we will get back with you with justusforjobs@gmail.com. God bless you.
Thank you, Sister Darva. 773-591-1690. The call bank is full. Let's get to it. Angel, welcome to Black Excellence Hour.
How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Love your show. I'm okay. You know, I just want to say something real quick. I feel sorry for the city of Chicago and the citizens electing this Brandon for mayor in this city. He's going to be a disaster. I hate to say it. You know, when you're going to talk about defunding the police and stuff like that and raising the taxes on the businesses and the head tax on the workers, what do you expect going to happen to Chicago? You think people are going to come and invest in the city? Are you kidding me? They're going to leave. I already got 3 friends moving out of the city.
Yeah.
They're going to Florida. And I tell them, oh, you're going to Republican state. God bless you. Good for you. Because all we have in the city, I hate to say it, is dumbass Democrats. Seriously. And I'm a Democrat, but I've got Republican values. And I'll tell you, what happened? You know, I'm going to ask you one quick question. 2 years ago, Joe Biden came here. Everybody was flapping at the airport, the mayor, the governor, about cutting on the guns. Remember that situation?
Mm-hmm.
When he came down, whatever happened to that situation?
Huh.
He was going to get the FBI, find out where the guns were coming, whatever happened.
Well, I think they found out that that was a part of their narco town deal, and then they started being quiet.
But how people get voting for suckers. Let me tell you something. I love Chicago, and I hate to hear about the bloodbath that's going to happen in this city. It's going to be a bloodbath. But let's see if Mr. Brandon on the 5th floor of City Hall has solutions. So I end up by saying, let's go, Brandon. You take care. Love your show, and I'll be listening to you tomorrow.
All right. Thank you, Angel. 773-591-1690. The criminality is coming straight out of City Hall. And it is being supported by the Cook County Prosecutor's Office because, again, you can steal $999 worth of stuff and not get a felony. And it's going to take the police a while to get there to hold, to arrest you. So by that time, you're going to be gone. Remember I told you guys last week I went shopping on Roosevelt and Clark over here by the station. They were in DSW stealing like they had never been stealing before, and the woman told me that they always come in there and steal because they know that they're going to get away with it. They cannot be held, and there is no disincentive not to steal in the city of Chicago. Why wouldn't they steal, and why would corporations stay here? Stop letting people emotionally manipulate you. Let's go back to the phone line. Eduardo, welcome to Black Excellence Hour.
Yeah, I got a good source here from Daily Mail, U.S. Secret Service National Threat Assessment. I'll do this as fast as I can. Age 14 to 87, failed family relationships, 96% are men, physically aggressive or intimidating, jobless and in legal strife, most use firearms, nearly two-thirds exhibited alarming behavior, over one-half with mental health issues, one-fourth conspiracies or hateful ideologies, and half motivated by grievances and over perceived wrongs.
So what do you think? So what's the conclusion from that?
Young males being indoctrinated in school with that wokeness. That's where this is coming through. No fathers, of course.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's another show for another time. We'll talk about how family structure is pushing this too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good week, everyone.
Thank you, Eduardo. 773-591-1690. Someone just texted me and said, little sister, these people got corporate prevention insurance. It don't matter how much insurance they have. It's not okay to go in people's places of business and steal from them and then not have the government back the businesses. Walmart was in the right to close those stores. And, friends, it's not racial because we still have our Walmart in Austin. The Walmart on North Avenue in Cicero is still open and popping because people were not going in there, walking out of there with six color TVs like they did in Chatham 5 days ago. That was a news story as well. We got to hold our people seriously. We got to hold our government seriously and stop victimizing villains. There is no reason for somebody to go steal six TVs out of Walmart to eat. No, because you would have been in there stealing meat and vegetables if you were hungry. But if you steal TVs, you just a thief. Let's go back to the phone line. And they, again, are popping in full. Robert M., welcome to Black Excellence Hour.
Good evening. How you doing?
Good. How you doing, sir?
I'm not putting a plug in for one stop on for the spiritual. I'm not putting a plug in for that. But that Walmart was up there closed on 47th Street. Well, I put money down. You go in one stop on 43rd. Anything you want is fresh, because these bodies are getting fresh food all over the place. And the only thing about this produce market is not big or super, but they got fresh produce in and everything. And I'm, you know, why don't people go up there and shop? I talked to somebody yesterday, they did a little laugh about it. But you talk to anybody, and I guarantee you, I've never seen a policeman one stop trying to stop somebody from sitting, because them brothers around there who are transporting grocery for the people, they'll kill them children down the street. Watch yourself. Don't go in there messing with them. I bet you 25 can go in there at the same time. Nobody steal anything, because the people in there, they know better than that. See? But I suggest that people stop crying about the Walmart on 47th Street and give them people on 43rd Street a long time. You may have heard about it. They got some of the best meats in there, best oxtail. I'm not putting a plug in for them, but I'm just saying when I was shopping down there, and they should try to increase, maybe go up or somewhere. They increase their business. Let Walmart go on down to get where they want to go. No me crying for somebody to do the business here. But people, they're highfalutin. They want to go way out there somewhere. I put one stop meats and vegetables against anybody.
Thank you, Robert.
Okay.
Like Robert said, find somewhere else, but stop begging Walmart to stay. Again, y'all want to get more businesses in the neighborhood? Talk to the Cook County State's Attorney and tell them to raise the threshold for retail theft again and start prosecuting shoplifters. It's simple, but we are not going to pretend that these businesses were not looted and stolen and shoplifted out of business. No. Uh-uh. We are not going to put that on the race because Lakeview closed, and that's white folks. So they got white people that are dope heads and addicts on Lakeview stealing. You got people over there in the little village area stealing. You got the people stealing from those two locations out south. It's all shoplifting and Walmart, as we heard in the beginning of the show. The CEO said that he was going to close the stores if the stealing and the policies did not change. So, again, all those people who were hyping you up all last week, why didn't they look up that information? Because they wanted to withhold that from you in order to emotionally manipulate and traumatize you to make themselves relevant in this conversation. We got to push all of them out the way. 773-591-1690. Tony, welcome to Black Excellence Hour.
Thank you for taking my call. The situation here, like you said, is definitely credible when you talk about the heroin use in the city of Chicago. Now, I was in Walgreens on 79th and Jeffrey Friday, and a guy was in there. You could tell that the guy was on something. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, he picks up four things of detergent. The manager is walking alongside of him, and I'm looking. I'm like, is this guy still in it? So he stole these four things of detergent. So the manager comes over to me. He said, I apologize that you saw that. I said, hold on. You don't have to apologize to me for doing your job. I said, so you can't stop him from leaving out the store. He said he has no power to detain him. And this guy comes in there every single day. Now, black people have a different mindset than some regular people. And I'm talking about still talking about black people when I talk about regular people.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that a business is going to survive in our areas and the stealing from the outside and the stealing from the employees.
Exactly.
They're not going to survive. It's a bottom line thing. If I'm going to make profit, I'll make a profit, the store will stay. And a lot of times it's not even safe for the employees to work in certain stores in the city of Chicago in certain neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. It's not even safe for these people. So all of a sudden I'm going to cry because these people are saying enough is enough. No, we got to get better. We got to get better. If you come to a store every day and steal, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to close.
They're going to close.
I would close. You think I'm going to let you steal stuff from me that I purchased with money to make money, and I can't make money because you're stealing? That makes no sense. Let's get it together. That's all I can say.
Thank you.
I witnessed this.
We all have. Right. But again, all of that energy for the thieves to feel so emboldened to do it have come from our government directly. We heard our mayor ourselves in the beginning of the show say that these people are doing this out of desperation and we should feel sorry for them. He never victimizes villains, and the corporations are starting to hear that, and they're going to close. What should we do?
But P-Ray, if I could get up and struggle to get a job and maintain a job, everyone else, no one else has to do that?
That's what I say. I pay taxes.
I justify being a thief. Oh, they got money. Oh, they'll rob me too, P. Right? You don't think they will?
Yeah. Thank you, Tony.
Take care.
773-591-1690. Y'all, we got 5 calls and 7 minutes. Say your point and let it go. Let's get back to the calls. Dennis, welcome to Black Excellence Hour.
Let's go, Brandon. Here's the thing. If these leaders, so-called leaders over here, complaining about Walmart and saying that, well, they just stealing because of this and that. Okay, steal a book, then steal a job application, and then apply for a job. That kind of makes sense. And for those who over here patronize these thieves and stuff, let them break in your house and steal your color TV set out your house and see how much of a victim you will be.
Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you.
773-591-1690. Let's make criminals criminals again. That's going to be P. Ray's phrase from now on. Make criminals criminals again. Start locking people up in the Illinois Department of Corrections again. People got to start going to jail because obviously patting them on the shoulder and letting them go is not working out for anybody. And now we have become a full-blown narco town. We selling more heroin than the law allow, more people doing it than the law allow, and they are stealing corporations out of business. This is all due to progressive sanctuary policies that are coming out of City Hall that have attracted the cartel to Chicago and have made us a narco town, literally. 773-591-1690. Belinda, welcome to Black Excellence Hour. Belinda?
Oh, hi, how you doing? Thank you for taking my call, ma'am.
You're welcome.
Okay, you know, I am for Mayor-elect Brandon, and I believe that he's going to do a good thing for Chicago. And I would like to say, as far as the police go. We need to fuel more money into resources, training, rehabbing these felons, because all this talk about we need more people to go to jail and to get tough on them, that's not going to do anything. They're going to go in there, come right out, do the same thing. It's just a vicious cycle. And all of this is by design.
Yes, ma'am.
The drugs. This reminds me of when the crack cocaine epidemic came.
Miss Belinda,
now we got this.
You got to wrap it up because I got a couple other people.
Okay, but all of this is by design, and we have to stop blaming ourselves. We blame ourselves for slavery. We blame ourselves for the gangs. It's time for us to get up and do for self. We can have our own grocery stores. We're entrepreneurs. Pool that money together. The churches get involved. Farrakhan said a long time ago, get from his farm. We ain't got to get from these white folks and make them rich, and then when they get tired of you, what they do? They walk away after they got rich off of you.
Thank you, Ms. Belinda. I say lock them up. Lock them up. Dead serious. That's why we have the Department of Corrections to correct people's behavior. But we haven't been locking people up, and now crime is through the roof. We have policies that victimize villains, and now everybody is a victim, including the corporations. This is what happens in a narco town. How did Chicago become a narco town? Straight out of City Hall. Let's go back to the phone line. I got three people in 3 minutes. Let's make this rock. Let's go to Cliff. Welcome to Black Excellence Hour.
Hey, P-Ray, thanks for taking my call. Listen, I got an issue or subject matter for Black Republicans. So we have Ten Scott, aka Uncle Ten.
Cliff, we're not talking about that today. Wait, we're not talking about that right now.
Because
I know, I know you're from Connecticut. I know you want to talk about politics. Right now we're talking straight Chicago retail business. You got to hold that call till tomorrow.
Okay.
All right, that's tomorrow. Thank you, love. Thank you. We're talking in Chicago Walmart business right now and how progressivism has created the culture of criminality and dysfunction that now has corporations divesting from the city of Chicago. And it's not just Black Chicago, because Lakeview, which is white, lost their Walmart too. They too have a high heroin usage, just like everyone else in the city, and the heroin use is driven by the narco town culture that we have here, and the city council created it. Progressivism is dangerous. Let's go back to the phone line. Princess, welcome to Black Excellence Hour.
Yes, greetings to you, P-Ray, and to everyone. What I wanted to say is I had mentioned earlier in the week in regards to Walmart, if people would learn how marketing goes, then you will understand why they're doing what they're doing. And as I told people, this announcement was made November of 2021. They started with China. They shut it down over there. So China and Walmart is in a rivalry. They're going to close 269 stores. They're doing it all over. They're closing the one in Mexico. And it's not about no racism. And when you hire people in marketing and they steal from you, including the employees, what do you think is going to happen? Put somebody in your house where you live at and let them constantly steal from you. And then you'll understand how marketing goes.
Thank you, Princess.
I rest my case.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And we're going to take our last caller, Byron. Welcome to Black Excellence Hour.
Bonjour from Brazil. Hey. That lady that calls talking about we need to open those stores and the criminals need to let go, she loves criminals.
Yes.
She voted for the criminals. If you go to start it ready and you can't steal, do you know what happened to your hand?
They cut it off.
You know what happened when you're right. So you got two chances to steal, and then you lose both hands. There's no consequences. There's no consequences. And you fail to mention the one word. Who's the state's attorney of Cook County?
Kim Fox.
She is letting these guys out and girls out after they do crime over and over again to prey on us. No one wants to mention her name, Kim Fox. I don't want to mention her name because I don't want to get canceled. But she's responsible for all this crime being let back out on the damn street. How many felonies should you have? 18 felonies and you're still on the street? That's what's going on. Black folks love crime. That's what they're voting for it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Byron. and we are at the end of the show. So I thank you so much for joining me today here on Black Excellence Hour, a show for people with high self-esteem. And remember, friends, the chaos that we're seeing right now in the city of Chicago is not racially driven. It is driven by piss-poor policy that is coming out of City Hall. Because for some reason, progressives think that black folks are a pity party. They think that we're the most pitiful, lackluster group of people in this country, as if we didn't build it and come up with the laws. Because people, guess what? Until we honestly have a real look at the policies and the politicians that are pushing the criminals and making us feel sorry for them as our safety suffers, we're going to continue to have these conversations. We have to make sure that we know exactly who we are electing and not looking at their faces and feeling with our hearts instead of thinking with our brains. We got 4 years to get this together, and if we do not, we are going to have a hard time figuring out exactly what we need to do. This is P. Ray of Black Excellence Hour, a show for people with high self-esteem. I love you guys so much. I'm going to see you all tomorrow night. We're going to dive deeper into the behavior of the Bebes and how progressivism pushed that too. Let's go, Brandon. See y'all tomorrow, and ciao.
Hot, 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 hot show again. From the voice of a new generation. That's right. That's the Black Excellence Hour. So we're going to do the behind the scenes of the Black Excellence Hour coming up right now. Let's hit it, everybody.
And I'm thrilled to be here in the heart of Georgia to launch our incredible new nationwide grassroots effort. Blacks, think of this. Blacks for Trump. Black voices for Trump. African Americans for Trump. Call it whatever the hell you want, right? We like it. What do you prefer, blacks for Trump or African Americans for Trump? I think so. Yes. Well, I want to thank you, and I'll tell you what. We're doing well. We have our best employment numbers, and we're going to get into it. But the support we're getting from the African-American community has been overwhelming, and I want to thank each and every one of you for your courage and tenacity and devotion to really what's turning out to be a movement. This was like a movement in 2016. There was a movement of a lot of people. And by the way, you made up a good portion of that movement. You know that. Diamond and Silk. Oh, you're so great. So great. For decades, the Democrats have taken African-American voters totally for granted. They have. They didn't do anything for you. Democrats have run America's inner cities at every level of government for 50, 60, and 70 years, and really 100 years, I view it. I think Paris, right? 100 years. When Detroit last had a Republican mayor in 1962, it had a strong, beautiful economy. Per capita incomes were among the highest in the nation. And after nearly 60 years of really crooked Democrat rule, it's one of the poorest cities in America. It was one of the most successful cities in America. Philadelphia has a poverty rate more than double the national average. The city has had a Democrat mayor every year since 1952. 20 out of 20 most dangerous cities in America last year were run by Democrats. I'd say that's not too good. Nationwide, 58% of murder victims under the age of 22. Democrats threw open America's borders to the deadly drugs and ruthless gangs that are all over the place, to mass illegal immigration, which hurts the black community so badly. They passed crime bills that devastated your communities, and Democrats waged a relentless assault on the cherished values that have always defined African-American families. You know that. It's amazing that you've stayed so long, to be honest. It almost becomes a habit, right? It's a habit. Like it's, oh, we vote for a Democrat. Nobody knows why they vote for a Democrat. Look, if they don't do the job, you switch. You got to switch. And some progress has been made like never before, perhaps, in such a short period of time. But under this administration, all of that has changed, and it's changing even faster now. We're undoing the damage inflicted by decades of corrupt Democrat rule and creating a historic tide of new opportunity and prosperity. We've done more for African Americans in 3 years than the broken Washington establishment has done in more than 30 years. We've created 6.7 million new jobs since the election. But as we're delivering results for African Americans, the hard left Democrats have been busy doing absolutely nothing for you. For over three straight years, they've been obsessed with one single delusional goal, overturning the votes of the 2016 great election that we had. And really, if you think about it, overturning American democracy. First, it was the Russia hoax. Then it was the Mueller report, the biggest lie ever perpetrated upon the American people, Russia. Give me a break. They're disgracing us as a nation. They've dismissed you, they've hurt you, and they've sabotaged you for far too long. It's time.
That's right. We want four more years. So we want, as soon as we get everything logged in, we're trying to bring in P. Reg, Ebony on the board. She's somewhere in the studio. So we're going to bring her in, give a wrap-up, talk about the little Walmart situation, see what's up with Chicago and how she fears, or what's her thought on Brandon Johnson as mayor, to see if she have any topics on what's going on with the week. Again, like I say, this is a brand new voice of a generation. Glad to have her on. And it seems like she's going to be on prime time. We're going to get her to talk about that. So let me go on to our intro song before we get everything on. Come on, let me get everything ready. She's on the line now. So let's go on like we get it on. Let me tell y'all what's going on, everybody out there. The Martin Luther King Republicans are back in action. We land low. Well, I say we lay low. Check it out. We so up there, everybody, that we getting calls from D.C. Everybody wants to come in and check us out and sit down and talk with us as an organization. Now, it's true that we endorse Trump, the Martin Luther King Republicans, and we ride with 45, as you can see. But there's a lot of our members that are looking at Tim Scott and gave me a call to see if we can bring Tim Scott down here, which I have no problem with having Tim Scott come talk to our organization, because we feel that, you know, he can be the next president of the Senate or the next vice president, even though we want Byron Donaldson, but we can take Tim Scott. And then we was looking at that, just to allow Tim Scott to speak, and, like, what about Ron DeSantis? Why not Ron DeSantis? Should we have Ron DeSantis come down? He's going to be in Caswell County in May. And so I was thinking about, man, I can't believe Caswell County, Peoria, rolling with Ron DeSantis. Man, I can't believe. Man, it was like Trumpers. When I was on the tour, everybody was old Trumpers. But it's funny. Like, during the last election cycle, how everybody was screaming, it was for Trump. Trump, Trump, Trump. As soon as the DeSantis come in here, they run to shake his hand or be in a picture with him. Or you have other people picking Vasquez. I can't think of his dude name. He's an Indian. I want to say his name. I might pronounce it wrong, but I say AV or Vat something. They're backing him. And some of these people was accused of not backing the president, even though they're screaming, I'm with Trump, I'm with Trump. As soon as the moment came to say they're not with Trump, that was it. But let it not be mistaken. We're going to be listening to other candidates, because if other candidates recognize the Martin Luther King Republicans as an organization they want to talk to, they can. But let this be this disclaimer. We just listening. But if you are able to persuade a few of our members to assist you, well, go ahead on. But the Martin Luther King Republicans are going to try to prove to the world that Illinois is Trump territory, and we're going to crack the blue wall, because right now we are standing on the verge of getting it on. Getting it on.
Are you getting on?
Yeah, it's so cool. Everything is live, and I got kind of tempers. P-Ray got feedback. So that means I'm going to just jump in. What's up, P-Ray? You on live?
Yeah, can you hear me?
You got to be on live because Edmund just threw you on live without me even saying nothing. I'm hearing the feedback in the background. So that was me. I couldn't get an intro, so I just got to jump on. So let me just jump in. What's going on?
Man, I'm enjoying life. How you feeling?
All right. So let me see how I can work this in. Like I, you know, was trying to, because I just got everybody's live go from Ebony, because she just think everybody can just get, put a battery pack and just move. Now, this thing on Walmart, because there's closing, these closings coming down, do you feel that Target and CVS's might, throughout Chicago, might take the same approach now that Brandon Johnson's mayor?
Absolutely. I think that we're about to lose a lot of corporations here in the city of Chicago. Today, you guys heard it earlier when I played Brandon's response to the looting that happened in 2020. So if we, and this is when he was just a Cook County commissioner. So we now have a sitting mayor who believes that looting and lawlessness should result in sympathy and pity for the victims. Then absolutely corporations are going to divest in the city. Why would they stay here and be victimized? They don't have to be here.
That's true. What would that place the citizens here in the city, in your opinion, Ms. Peter? What would that place us at?
What'd you say? You said what would take place with that?
Are we fucked? You know what I'm saying? Because like you said,
absolutely. And the reason being is because we're a narco town. We're literally a narco town, and everybody is acting like that's the big elephant in the room that nobody wants to address, right? Because if we were to address the fact that we're a narco town, then we would have to reexamine our sanctuary city policy. And they don't want to do that because they're too busy giving away our reparations to the illegals, right? That's going to disrupt all of their plans. And the corporations were not supposed to pull out at this point. You know, they know that the corporations are going to pull out, but now the corporations have pulled back the curtain and said the emperor doesn't have on any clothes. And now people are starting to see. So my goal is so that everybody can start to understand that this is the result of sanctuary city policy. When people would say, well, what do the illegal immigrants have to do with this? It's not Juan and Maria coming up here with baby Jesus. No, it's none of that. The problem is the cartel came here with the sanctuary city, and now we got all this heroin on the street. So you got a whole lot of heroin. You got a whole lot of dope heroin addicts. You're going to have a lot of quality of life crime. That's what happens in the capital of the heroin-selling world of America. Do you know that we sell more heroin out of Chicago than anywhere else in North America?
Yeah, because what people don't understand is that, like you said, people come across the borders and not just bringing their children for a better life. They are coming across, everybody's coming across the border for a better life. You got those who probably want a better life because of poverty. And then there you got those baby Tony Montana who know that they can come over here in America and become, and the world can be theirs. See, people forget to realize in the hype, I know it's before your time, P-Ray, but if you go back and look at Scarface, people, Scarface was doing the hype of an immigration situation here in America. And thousands of immigrants came over here. That's how Tony Montana, Scarface came over here, joined the cartel, became the whole world, blew up Miami. Now, is that what we see happening or possibility of happening here in the city of Chicago?
Absolutely we do. Because, again, we have literal, the cartel has been identified as being a major move, a major contributor to violence here in the city. There are actually three cartels operating in the city of Chicago, and the DEA has published reports on this and spoken extensively about it. But you have never, ever, ever heard any guidance from City Hall about this or any response from City Hall about this. by heroin abuse. So that's the main problem here, the heroin abuse, the drug abuse. Not the babies, you know, not
now,
the
kids
wilding out.
Dig it.
You know, no.
Now dig it,
it's
no.
Heroin.
Now dig it. Now dig it. Dig it, dig it. That's true. That is true. Now, this is what our city has degenerated to. Now, this is the sad part of a Brandon Johnson's election to mayor, because some of his ideas on paper, given the situation that you are saying, might play to work, because there are no resources here in Chicago for rehabilitation centers for those heroin addicts. I guess that's what he wanted to mean by social work. So I would like to know, and maybe you can, you know, you got your ear more on the Democratic pulse than I do, and I'm about to throw you out of you because he's your man. What does Robin Kelly, Jonathan Jackson, and Danny Davis have to say about the situation in Chicago when they are federal congressmen and basically help Brandon out by giving him resources to, I guess, build treatment centers or have facilities here too? I guess a system
in this. We got to look at it. Well, first off, the congressman, I've called the congressman's office multiple times and spoken to my congressman, Danny Davis, about this, how the fact that we are ignoring federal immigration laws to the detriment of the health, safety, and security of Black Chicago. Okay, they already know. They are not stupid. They have staff that's researching and doing the data. They do not care, because if they were to speak against sanctuary policy, then that would go against the DNC's national platform, and that could mess up their reelection money, which is why I started to go to D.C. myself to do my own advocacy once I understood that to be a fact. Now, but aside from us getting rehab, one thing, so I grew up on the west side of Chicago. I still live on the west side of Chicago, and I grew up during the crack era. Two things that stopped the crack era were people getting locked up for selling crack and people going to rehab. So we can build as many rehabs as we want, but if we do not address the drug trafficking and the cartel being here, it won't matter, because when those people come out, those heroin dens are still going to be there. They might have a stronger grade of heroin by then because their system is evolving. So what we got to address first is the open border that's allowing $1 billion worth of heroin to be trafficked off the west side of Chicago a year. And then what we also have to do as a people is de-racialize this whole heroin issue, because we see that they closed the Walmart up in Lakeview as well, and that's a white area. But Lakeview has an out-of-control heroin issue right now. So what I tell white people when I speak to them is that our boys are selling heroin and your boys are using heroin. So both of us are affected by the heroin dealing or the importation of heroin to the city of Chicago. You see what I'm saying? This is not a partisan issue. This is an issue about our kids and the quality of life that we're trying to build here as Chicago taxpayers. Once we get that message out to the people, then I think the people will start to push back against the government. But me talking about it and you talking about it, that's not going to get no traction, because I told you, I already talked to the congressman. He knows.
But it comes down to, like you said, he knows. That is where we are at here in Black Chicago, ladies and gentlemen. We have congressmen that know. You're not going to hear nothing from Jonathan Jackson. He's trying to maintain a low profile so he can get reelected. And you're not going to hear nothing from Robin Kelly. Now, the sad part of the situation is you have a governor that says we have a sanctuary state, and we now got a new man that's going to continue the policy. Now, we get all these people ignoring federal laws. Now, with that being said, you have an immense power. Now, this is not me trying to be xenophobia, everybody. We're talking about cartel. Let's look at political power. Most of the political power is in the brown state of the town here in Chicago, and the immigrants have their leader. They can vote here. They have their congressmen. They have their councilmen. They have their state reps, and they have their state senators. Now, if we know that this is a problem facing us in a black community, we have an overwhelmingly large number of black state senators and state reps. Now, I'm not, you know, familiar with too many here on the South Side, but you just, I honestly know them, but I really don't follow them as well. But let me ask you this question. How cool are you with your state reps, and can you see if they can change the situation with our state policy? Because it goes by changing laws. See, me and you, P. Ray, you know, I'm not one of just talking about a problem. I think it's a problem. Now, here's a problem. We got sanctuaries, cities being unlawful. And we got drugs coming into our city, which causing shopping malls and centers to close up. Now, how can we bring this to our leaders and get them to change that on the west side, Patricia? Not on the south side, on the west side. I don't know nothing about the west side. On the west side, how can we get to change it? Straight
I
up.
I don't know.
What you know and who you know, because you know them all over there. What you know and what you know, how can we change? I'm not trying to be the same people in your front street. Straight up. Right? You know, because I know what you have in knowledge and information you may lack in age. So I ain't putting that all on you. You know what I'm saying? Because your age, you know what I'm saying, your wisdom surpasses your age. So what I'm saying with the people you know over there, how can we get those people to understand that it's destructing our community, or has those people that are in those places turned their backs on us, and that's it for us, and we got to take what they give us? I don't know. I'm on the west side.
I believe that they're turning a blind eye to it, because like I told you, they know. They listen to Black Excellence Hour all the time. You have to remember that I was raised by these politicians politically, okay? When I was in college, during my breaks, I would, like winter break, spring break, I would go and volunteer in my elected officials' offices doing their writing and filing and, you know, speeches and all that kind of stuff. So these people know me very, 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 very well, okay? I mean, I know that they're listening to the show, and what I remind them in our private conversations is that you guys created my political thinking, and so I'm using the same logic that you taught me to have, and this is the conclusion I came to. So how aren't you coming to this conclusion as well? And they remind me that they have to work in the caucus, and that the caucus, you know, comes up with what they want to do. And I keep telling them, but the caucus is not putting you in office. We putting y'all in office. So why would y'all go there and do things that, you know, are not helpful to us? They don't care. You know, straight up, just make it blunt and honest. They don't care. They know.
So what?
They
the
know
solution?
Exactly what's
listen.
Going on. They live over here,
so
too.
So dig it. See, listen, I know you get paid for talking on the air, throwing out y'all look at the problem, A, B, C. You're throwing, you're educating everybody, E, D. So all I want to know is this. How can we get them to pay attention to us? Now, I ain't on the south side. Because
so
I'm trying,
start writing. Start writing. Start showing up. But you have to remember that the loyalty that the people have is to the politician and not their policies. So I don't know what to do. You know, this is why I have the show and I'm trying to educate people. Because I don't know, you know, aside from me calling their offices, writing them letters, I've done all of that stuff, and we need to get more people to start calling and writing to express their frustration and discontent as well. But these people are not ignorant.
It don't happen like that, Patricia. It don't happen like that. Now, this size is going to happen. I did this. Now, this is what I need you to do. You don't give me to say it's April. Let's say around by Juneteenth. By Juneteenth, let me see. If we can find one person from the west side that we're going to run for county commissioner, one person from the west side that we're going to run for state rep, and one person from the west side that we're going to run for state senate. Now, this is how, let me tell you something, right? Let me give you the legend of Jimmy Lee, the story of Jimmy Lee and why I run. You see, what people don't really, this is the unknown secret of my power, why I'm so bad, right, and why D.C. loved me, right? Because Upon Me and the Martin Luther King Republican is coming up in this spot. We have pushed the number of black Republicans up to 15%. Right, 15%. Now, when I jumped out against Bobby Russell, like, nah, homeboy, shit is wrong. You're voting on these laws. You want to run my idea versus your idea. Let's see what I deal with. Because tell the people, you got to explain to people why this is going on. So that was my little, so I'm going. But the powers that be would never set a debate up because they want to hit the dude with that because they know I can't do that. Boom. So what I started doing, I started moving. And everybody like, oh, man, Jimmy Lee is running. I can do it too. Most people do it for the money, not for the movement. Now, this is why I'm saying this is how the fight starts because don't nobody run. Don't nobody. If you can find, if we can find, just three on the west side. I'll get three on the south side. And we can find three on the far south. 369. We find one dude over there in the jungle, John Quill, over there in the Howard area. We go to the jungle in John Quill. The north side, that is. You don't know. It's rough on the north side. Go to the jungle on the north side. Over there in Howard.
Yeah, the jungle is rough. John
Quill over there. Don't get it twisted. All right? Now, we can find one over there in all those, in those little areas. And here's the issues, Patricia. Here's the issues. We can't get no jobs because we're a sanctuary state because the mayor and the governor is allowing that. I'm quite sure if we get politicians that are running for politician seats and hit them from the southwest, far south, and one from the north, you see, things will change. Either they're going to listen to us or get the fuck out the way. You see, the problem is this, Patricia. Being black in Chicago, even being a black Republican in Chicago, most of our motherfucking friends are Democrats or Democrat politicians. We know these people. So we kind of give them like, I, the benefit of the motherfucking doubt while they're cutting your boys' dicks off. We give them the benefit of the doubt while they are making your daughter go in the bathroom with a man. We give them the benefit of the doubt. And we know it cries, and we hear them say those. See, this is why I'm Republican. I'm not a bitch or a punk. And I can't go along with nobody that is doing that or even justifying it. And where I'm from, if you're doing that to the children and you're trying to cipher the youth and take the innocence from the kids, then I have to destroy you because it's war. There's no justification for harming the children. There's no justification for perverting the children. Dig this. They're tripping on the, just today, they were tripping on, well, all week, the birth control pill the morning after or the contraceptive abortion pill. They're trying to outlaw it. You know, I done looked it up and stuff like that because once I was before, I was with it for a second because I figured, but then I looked at a lot of stuff. I've seen how females, you know, go to the bathroom when the baby come out. I'm seeing a lot of stuff like, but I ain't going to scare people, right? So I'm seeing this saying like this. Here we are saying we need to talk about women's reproductive health and system and blah, blah, blah. And if we can teach girls in grammar school or high school about how they body and they time clock and how their body works, then you might be have a better reproductive system instead of teaching them the sexual perversion or how to masturbate at 5 years old. They don't know what masturbation is. You know, I mean, obviously at 5 years old, but yet they sexually active at five when they have no idea what sexual perversion is. But then by the time their body starts changing, you gonna tell them, hey, you know, see, they are leading our people down a path of no return. And in these days, there are those who sat by and saw and didn't do nothing. And woe is to those who sat by and knew and didn't do nothing. They might get hit harder than the ones that initiated because, hey, the one initiated, they in it. The one that sat by and do nothing, hey, you know, and that's where we are as a, that's where we are as a city, a state, and a nation. This is colorless. This is colorless, Patricia. This is colorless. As a nation, we are giving up on the future of our children, and we're killing the senior citizens. Now, there's a generation of people who lost about 2 to 3 years of education, so that's a generation lost already. because they didn't get no education. Coming up with a generation that's being drugged out with all these pharmaceuticals. Coming up with another little kid that are being perverted. They won't give you artificial intelligence, so you really don't know what the fuck you're learning anyway. You write the paper. So right now, the destruction of our educational system is just being wrecked in front of us. Everybody calls your station. Everybody calls VON. Everybody calls WLS. Everybody calls 560 and say the same thing. But what do they do? Do they go to arms? To arms? So it comes a time when you go to arms, Patricia. It comes a time when there's enough talking. You got to look at the enemy and see who the enemy is. This has no color, no party. Anybody who's pushing laws to destroy children should be your enemy, no matter where they're coming from. Because when I was little, you knew the perverts and the weirdos. You kept the kids away from them already. Keep going. Get away from them. Get away from them. And they will get away from them. They wouldn't even be nowhere near them. Everybody knew, I'll beat your butt. You said, get away from the boy. Now we're allowing the boys and the men and the women and the no. You know, we cannot sit here and let our society, I'm going to put out my society. People that's listening to, I know I got a lot of white folks. Listen, black people, we can't let our race fall down to this immorality. And that's what it is. And Patricia, you said, you called in, not doing nothing. This is why I'm like, man, you got to go. This is why they got to go. Because they cannot give an answer to a solution, or they cannot vote on a bill or switch parties vote on the bill to save a child. They cannot even lockstep with their own morality and their ministers and their reverends, most of the people down there. And that's why people out here, we are going to call out your boy Ford. He's the one on the low man on the totem pole. He's the one with high aspirations. You want to be something so bad. You want to be famous, Ford. Be famous. Because I'm coming for you. I'm coming for all the low-hanging state reps who think they want to be somebody and stuck in a Democratic plantation and can't be nowhere, who's jealous of Brandon because his dumb ass jumped over y'all asses. And y'all know y'all time is messed up. Y'all got a chance to shine right now or get out of work. You got a chance to save the babies to leave. It's a Democratic town. They either A, we're going to – well, it's like this. It's got to be either A. I got to make everybody switch. My goal is I done got 15% of Illinois to move already. I want to get 25. So I need to move 10 more percent of the people up. So, matter of fact, this war, Patricia, I know your friends, you know what I'm saying? And I know most of your friends don't fuck with Jimmy Lee because I'm a fighter and shit like that. They pay to run from Jimmy Lee because he's a madman. And this is why I'm a madman, Patricia, because it's at wartime right now. Children's lives at stake. No punk-ass cowards can be around us, and we got to take these punk-ass cowards out because they're calling Illinois. Dig this. I told you they can't stand your boy. They're calling Illinois. They're calling Chicago. We're the last blue wall. City Chicago is the blue wall. City Chicago is a blue wall holding everything back. Now, why the City of Chicago has always been a blue wall? The City of Chicago has always been blue. When have they been scared of Chicago turning red, Patricia?
Not till now.
And why? The Chicago GOP ain't pushing Trump. The Cook County GOP ain't pushing Trump. Tazewell County and Peoria County, they pushing DeSantis. Lake County pushing DeSantis. Uh-huh. So why are they saying that? Because they understand the fear. You see, they understand the fear and they see the movement. It's a reason. You see, it's a reason. So now, that's why I said you have a lot of black Republicans. I ain't tripping on Tim Scott. So, hey, Southside Republicans, there y'all go. Y'all not with Trump anyway. Roll with Tim Scott. He ain't going to make it. Roll with Tim Scott. Matter of fact, I told Paul and Doc, not saying it with Tim Scott. They want to bring my man to the parade. I ain't got no problem with Scott. Boom. But, hey, you Southside Republicans, you better run with Scott instead of DeSantis or that person that Trestle's rolling with. I don't know. Stephanie Trestle's rolling with somebody else screaming, oh, man, whatever. See, you go on tour with these people throughout the state And everybody look at the black man with the cowboy hat screaming Trump, and everybody want to scream Trump. Lying to the white people. I know so many people, a lot of white people, got that shame. And as soon as they get out the race, as soon as the race is over, they run over to the center. Right. And now here I am. Ladies and gentlemen, I will be in Whiteside County, Erie, Illinois, for their breakfast. Come see me up there, not doing nothing. That's 9 o'clock at Whiteside County, Erie, Illinois. Kicking my tour off. But anyway, people are upset throughout this county because of how the party is not responding to the will of the people. There are 315,000 strong Trump voters in this county, period, in the state, hardcore in the state, period, up and down. Now, the party doesn't care. And so if DeSantis loses, where they going to be at? Who knows? When DeSantis says, I'm not going to get in it, where they going to be at? I don't know. But all I know is throughout America, throughout the DNC, they're saying Chicago is the last blue wall. That's why the convention is here. Because
yep,
they're saying niggas believe
that we beating them down, and they know that we are slowly snatching black Chicago from them. You can hear that in the people who call my show, who say, you know
right.
what, P-Ray, you didn't convince me that you're right. I got to get away from these people. That's what I mean, Jimmy. Like, if we, like me, I know my part is to get the word out to the people and make the people feel good about making a different choice. You feel me? And then let the politicians know, hey, this ain't personal. You know what I'm saying? Don't take this personally at all, but y'all bogus on what y'all been doing, so you got to get out the way. Because if not, I'm telling you all, the fact that we are a narco town, not only are we going to be dealing with shoplifting, but look at Seattle. Seattle, they give their people needles. Now, you can't have a gun in Seattle, so open carry in Seattle means that you can put your drug needle behind your ear. You know what I'm saying? And walk around with it in public, and that ain't going to be no issue for you. You see what I'm saying? Like, we have to let our people know that you deserve better than this and start telling them, like, you don't have to accept this. It's not okay. You don't have to be the heroin center of the world. This is your politicians.
Well, we're
going to
be that
declared
now.
This
don't
for you.
Be surprised. Don't be surprised if Father Flager is going to give her now. I'm going to try to talk to Father Flager about helping me stand with me to fight this pedophilia law. I'm hoping he does it, but I won't be surprised if Father Flager's not this you, Flager, might have.
Man, look, with Father Flager, I'm going to go on record by saying this. With Father Flager, wait a minute, because you mentioned the man. With Father Flager, I believe those four men. So, for me, you do your thing with him, but I'm a man my West Side business.
No, what I'm going to say is,
because I know four grown men didn't come up there and lounge him. And
right,
that's, he's a big problem. He's a big problem of what's going on in Chicago as well, because people look at him as like a demigod. And what he does is he further victimizes and perpetuates this victimhood of black people in the city, which only causes people to victimize the villain. He's a huge portion of this.
Well, see, it's funny you say that. It causes people to victimize a victim. See, there's a guy by the name of Devin Jones, and he believes in institutional racism, Mike. And I was having a conversation with him, and I'd say, listen, Devin, do you believe in institutional racism? He said, yes, everywhere. So my question to those who believe in institutional racism, what part do you play in the institution? Because the only institution can allow itself to exist is there's participants in that institution. Do you sit there and whine and cry, oh, I can't do it to get you free cheese from the man? You tell your kids to go act a certain way, you get a certain way? In order for the institution of racism to exist, blacks have to play their part. They have to play the shuffle that I can't do, I can't think, ooh, just to get free stuff, or I'm going to go ahead and act a fool. I mean, no. In order for the institution to exist, blacks got to be in it. In order to destroy it, we can walk away from it. And we can walk away from it anytime you feel like it might change your mindset. Period. So, yes, see, people understand. They want to say it's tall buildings. It's imaginary. I will say it again. Yes, institutional racism is imaginary because they know that it's in our heads and we'll bow down to it regardless of the fact we know it. They know it don't exist. But they created a boogeyman that we see that exists, and we want something. We'll tell them, oh, you know how we are. You know we can't do it. You know I can. You know I slow it. Oh, my God. You know I can't. You know my mom. You know my daddy. We give them all the excuses to get over, because we know they want to hear those excuses to get over. We teach our kids to act a certain way to get over on a certain way, not knowing that we are participating in the institution. We think we're getting over. We think it's a hookup. No. The institution won't you act like that. The institution wants you to teach your kids to continue that thought pattern on. So they give you tickets and treats to allow you to continue on with the behavior pattern. So what I'm saying back now, flipping back to Flager, he might just set up a place where he might have an institution where you get free needles out because this is a problem. And that might stop people from something like that. You see, it happens like that, you know. And, yeah, Father Flager has a big role in this town because, in Chicago, honestly, we're Catholic. We're Irish Catholic-ass city. But let me give you an example. Your daughter go to Catholic school. She ain't got it. If you go to Catholic grammar and high school, she can stop right there and be sent in the city for the rest of her life. Because that's how it is in Chicago. The Archdiocese runs the city so great that if your kid go to, that's how you get a better education in Catholic schools than you do anywhere else. You know what I'm saying? They will educate you, and they know that most people go to college, so they set you up with city jobs because almost everybody in the city done went to either St. Nation, Brother Rise, every Catholic in the area. But I digress. I went somewhere else and didn't go there, Father Flager. That's why he running stuff. But the point I'm trying to keep at is that here we are. You're on the radio. We're talking about inappropriate black behavior. We're talking about even somebody called. See, you had a caller on, and she had said something about you can hear a voice, and she's right. The people are in jail, hard criminals, and they come out a certain way. We don't rehabilitate them. Now, it's funny how that's a true statement that is out there. It's a pull on your heart statement because everybody black know that there's a lot of wrongfully accused blacks in there and get harshly treated and come out different ways. And that's where the confusion lies in the black Republican tough on crime situation. Now, this is the Martin Luther King Republican stance on that because we do feel that children who make mistakes can be rehabilitated. Man, we got the army. Send the motherfuckers in training, send them overseas. If you want to shoot a gun at a younger age or you hang out with shooters, that must mean that you have that in you. You are a warrior. We need to train you to go over and fight somewhere over there in Kosovo right now. We're wasting talent. You see, right now, I'll guarantee you, if you let these little kids out here know that, no, you're not going to jail. You're going overseas. You're about to fight the war. I guarantee you. One, a lot of those killers will go overseas and come back with benefits and probably grants and housing might come back better men. B, a lot of crime will stop because they ain't trying to go over there. They ain't trying to do it. They're going, no, I'm not going. You see, I can understand that sometimes jail ain't for people. And you do need real rehabilitation. And a lot of children, let's say, whose frontal lobe are not yet fully developed and are acting totally immature because they have improper guidance. We have branches of our government that can take men of that stature and send them off. Maybe they might get killed. Maybe they might come strong. The same risk they take on the street, we can put that same risk over there somewhere fighting for the country, and you get a better deal with it. You see, there's ways of handling youth indiscrimination. We don't have to lock everybody up. You can put some of that talent to work for the country. You a killer? We need killers. We need killers right now. Evidently, you have no problem. Let's train you better and go over there. Give you a better life. You might come out, you know, get your better meal. You ain't doing nothing. We homeless already. Mom puts you out. So you got to, it's better than the county. So we need to look at, I hate to make it a military type of state, we need to say, hey, if you do a crime, harming these people, harming your citizens, done. Four years over there. Murder 8 years. You shoot somebody, have your check going to that fucking family, and you doing time over there. Call it a day. And that's how you can regenerate that because the lady was right on the phone because you really don't want that. But then again, that puts us in a disadvantage because we're feeling sorry for the criminals, not being able to tell the wolves from the sheep. Yeah, there are a lot of sheep in jail, But yeah, there are a lot of wolves in the street. And we look at the wolves like they're sheep. And they're wolves.
But
people cannot tell
the
wolves.
But this is what I'm telling you. The reason that they're not going to do that is because do you remember a group called the Dmau Mau from the 70s?
Yeah.
Does that ring a bell? Okay.
Yeah.
So the Dmau Mau, you know, they were a black Vietnam vet who were extremely trained in warfare and combat. And then they formed like a terrorist organization in black communities across America and started attacking white folks and killing them. So I don't think that the government went real hard to dismantle that group. So I don't think
You're giving the black youth much more credit than
I am. I'm not telling you.
You're giving them revolutionary mindset and black power nationalistic ideas. You're giving that.
Let me finish my point, Jimmy. My point is the reason that the government stopped promoting military to our people is because our people went into the military and got this black power nationalist mentality that they went real hard to crush, which is why they threw crack in the neighborhoods, right? Crack came in right as the black power movement was growing, and we had these men who were trained by the military. So I'm not saying it's a bad idea at all. I always say, if you want to shoot, go join the military. You can shoot and get some benefits. You know what I'm saying? And value a charge. You know, do whatever you want. But from their perspective, they're afraid that if we begin to militarize our youth again, they're going to come up with another group like the Dmau Mau.
Well, check that
out. That's all I'm saying.
That's very interesting. Let's dig it. This is me. A lot of my friends with the service, I didn't rock it. You know why I didn't rock it? Because of Michael Evans. You know who Michael Evans is?
Mm-mm.
Michael Evans is J.J. little brother.
Okay, yeah, I know Michael Evans.
Michael Evans says this. The army ain't no place for a black man. The black man got no place in the army. Then I watch black man go. And then I hear everybody since I was watching Good Times as a kid that the army ain't no place for a black man. Henceforth, a lot of black people in my generation didn't go. Now, take this. Here's a coin side of that. A lot of cats, my age group, if they'd have went off, let's say, I was at college, I was lucky. A lot of cats didn't go to college. Let's say they went to the Army in their peacetime. They could came out, they got benefits, they got housing, free Medicare, they go to college, they life is straight. They got guaranteed money coming from every goddamn year. You see, let me get straight. You mean to tell me black men cannot be able to get full Medicare, able to buy a house, get a college loan for free paid for, and for the rest of life, their life, we got to struggle on the streets. You see, there's a language to make black men not be a part of this government and miss out on the benefits that each and everybody can get. Yeah, you can't get a job. You got no job. Man, go to the Army. 4 years, you're coming back. You might have a job. You got a guaranteed check right now. With benefits, go get you. You got a loan. They can give you a house. You can buy a house with no money down. So you can tell me, I can give you your ass a future, then you not to have a future. You see, they kept it away from us, not for no Mau Maus. It's because, you know, the leg up you'll have benefits. Let me get you straight. Do you know how much family structure will be involved because a man got a wife, kids take care because the army paying for this shit?
I know, Jimmy, I do. My mama is an Army Reservist veteran. I know that's the plan. Listen, Jimmy, no, I don't think you understood me. I'm not saying what you said was wrong. I said the reason that the government even stopped sending, not for just the Mau Maus, I'm talking about just across the board. Remember, they used to send criminals. Wait a minute, Jimmy, let me finish. I've been listening to the reason that they stopped sentencing criminals as they're sentenced to join the military. Remember, they used to say you could go to the military or you can go to jail. The reason they stopped giving people those options is because they did not want to militarize the criminals. And that's what I'm saying. So if we want to get our people to go to the military, we got to have that talk with them before they go before the judge. Because once they go before the judge, that judge is not going to get and he's going to sentence him in a way that he won't even be able to go to a military after he get out. It can't be based on criminality. It's got to be based on us telling our people to go to the military.
No, I'm not based on criminality. Like the lady was saying on the phone. No, like the lady was saying that call. And she's correct about going into jail. And so, you know, they come out with no skills. You're right. They're not rehabilitated. They're not. They're coming out worse than they ever than they went in before. That is true. Now, what we're saying is the same thing, but you're looking at two different stories. What I'm saying is that if the Army and military is promoted, we'll have a better generation of individuals, not more military warrior soldiers, because I don't think the black motherfuckers are mental mind like that. And by the time the 70s died out, besides the move, like late 80s move, man, there's very few black power people, because I was with the dying camps of them people. So I remember they all died out. The point I'm saying is this, that there's a generation of black men out here that have nothing, that would have had something. That wasn't me. That was Ebony.
Ebony! I'm twisting. What's up, Ebony?
Ebony, phone ringing.
Hey, Ebony!
Well, listen, that must mean the end of the show then. I don't know what's calling the room. Listen, let me answer the phone. Ebony upstairs, I'm downstairs. You still there? How many minutes you got now? Jimmy, you had 4 minutes of the phone. I didn't want to end it like that. I want to end the song. Ebony put a phone call. But listen, the point I'm saying is this, that I'm not just looking at shooting, because a lot of people don't go to the military and that's necessarily going to the front line. They might go to the mechanic department. They might go to information. They might go to carry, you know, all type of things that make the military move besides just shooting a weapon. Other things that you do in the Army besides going to the front line and make the Army move. Cook, chef, maintenance, secretary, all type of stuff. Motor pool, putting gas in cars, putting gas in airplanes. There's other jobs you do besides shooting. People in the Army just think it's kill, kill, kill. So you can have a bunch of people going in and not having the front lines, having the kitchen somewhere, cut potatoes. What I'm saying is that you will always have income once a month, health care, opportunity to go to school, opportunity to buy a house. Those opportunities that are not given you when you get out of high school or school you out in the street with nothing to do. They already scared you already. You ain't got no college education. You can do 2 to 4 years to come back straight with a house and everything right there. Mexicans are coming over here. Their immigrants are joining the Army because they know the benefit they're getting. Immigrants are joining the Army. There's more immigrants in the Army, first-generation immigrants, in that because of those benefits. And we are the ones not taking advantage of those benefits. And our men, our young warriors, can come out with health care, with Medicare, with education, and might even be able to pay for their children. They might even get married because those are things they offer. Live on basis. It's a whole other generation. It's a war that we're not looking into, and that's what I feel, that we can use those things to stop crime. And I hate that I give those people, because we don't look at the Army as a way of solving our youth problems. We look at sports, everything, but no, they can get 4 years, 18, 19, 21, 22, come out 22 years old, and they spend the rest of their lives. With benefits, with opportunity to even get employment because they've been in military service. And it can't unemployment right there. So, man, you got to look at things like that, Patricia. How many minutes you got, Ebony? What do you mean you got? The outro, right. So you got the outro. See, Ebony? Oh, no, you got to be out anyway. Lord have mercy. Okay, listen, Patricia. We got 1 minute, 96 to go. Are you on all next week or just all Monday?
Just Monday and Tuesday.
Monday and Tuesday. What's your time you're doing Monday and Tuesday? What's the time?
6 to 9 p.m.
6 to 9 p.m., 7, 8, 9. Well, listen. We're going to try to get you on those 2 days. We're going to get it between 7 and 9 and about 29 hours. That's right. All right, now, if you're ready, tell everybody where they can find you at in the next 30 seconds you got.
I'm going to be live on the Black Excellence Hour Facebook page and on the radio on WVON 1690 AM Chicago in the iHeartRadio app. I'll see y'all tomorrow.
All right, thank you. 7 to 9, everybody. We'll try to get it on our career. Thank you. The voice of a new generation. Patricia Ellis, everybody.
pray for rain and thank him when it's falling, cause it brings a grain and a little bit of money. We put it back in a plate, I guess that's why they call it God's country. I saw the light in a sunrise, sitting back in a 40 on the muddy riverside, getting baptized in holy water and shine with the dogs running. And do it all again, cause we're proud to be from God.